During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talked to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping into the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, and I am your host as well as chief encourager and author. In order for you to hang out with us in this awesome space, all that's required for you to do is sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we're chatting with L'Oreal Thompson Payton, a blogger, freelance writer, and public speaker who's passionate about empowering women of all ages and admittedly addicted to stories. She shares her musings, life lessons, and more on her blog, LT in the City. And although journalism was once her dream profession, after 7 years of paying her dues, she walked away from her career in journalism to embark on a career in the nonprofit world. Today, she is a media relations manager for Girl Scouts of Greater Chicago and Northwest Indiana, but she hasn't let her love of writing go totally to the wayside, as she has been known to pen stories for sites like Hello Giggles, Brit & Co., and Ebony. I'm sure that you're going to enjoy this conversation, so go ahead and listen up. Welcome to the show, L'Oreal. It's such a pleasure to be speaking with you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited.
Yay! So as you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience, and you've had your own SPQ experience. So I'd love for you to start us off by sharing a bit about your experience and your story with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So it probably dates back as far as the most recent switch, pivot, or quit moment in my life, about 4.5 years ago when I moved from Baltimore to Chicago for my journalism career. Also a boy. Now it's my husband, so it has a happy ending. Don't worry.
Good.
And it was just like a really big life change at the time, going from living with my parents, you know, right out of college and working at the local newspaper. And I had this great opportunity to work for Jet as their digital content editor and started there in July 2013, and all of the awesomeness that you would imagine, selfies with celebrities, phone interview, like all the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And it was really fun, and everyone there was really a really big family. And about maybe a year or so into it, actually when I first started, the first story that I covered was the verdict in the Trayvon Martin case. And unfortunately, it's something that is still happening with these shootings. And so I remember vividly the day that Michael Brown was killed and getting ready to go out for a double day, like night on the town, and hair, makeup, hair, nails did, everything did. and sitting on the sofa, and like, okay, the story broke. And I'm like, okay, let me get on my laptop. And at the time, it was just me and my editor. It was just the two of us. And I had this moment where I was like, I don't know that this is what I want to do forever, because then the stories just kept happening and we were working so fast that I feel like I became a bit numb or desensitized to the news and just going through the motions, like same story, different name, different city. And I didn't like the person that I was becoming as a result of that. You know, hindsight of 2020, I didn't know then what I know now about self-care and wellness and really prioritizing that. So I was just burning the candle on both ends and burning out, essentially. And it led me to this aha moment of the reason why I got into journalism growing up, looking at all the teen magazines that I subscribed to now. Remember, this is the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera era. So everyone's blonde with blue hair and big boobs. And I'm like, well, I don't look like that. And I really internalized it and believed that something was wrong with me. So I set about this quest to become an editor in chief of a teen magazine, because I wanted to make sure that no girl, no young girl of color felt the way that I did growing up, where I was wishing that I was white. And so just everything I did in high school, college, after graduation, really culminated into this journalism career. And now I kind of made it. I'm at this really cool job in Chicago working for an iconic publication and still wasn't happy. I wasn't personally fulfilled. And so I did some deep reflection, some discernment, and was just like, you know, I got into this because I want to help girls. I'm a great writer. I know that about myself. That is my superpower. And so how can I use my skill as a storyteller to empower young girls? And I started thinking about nonprofits that had that same mission of helping girls and made a very short list. Girl Scouts was at the top of the list because, I mean, Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
And that was a long story short. I decided to switch careers and pivot. So I had a brief stint with the local school system in between JET and Girl Scouts. I was there for about 5 months, but then when that call came to join Girl Scouts to do their PR as the media relations manager, I leapt at it, and I've been there ever since.
Awesome. 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 I love that story. So since you've worked in this fast-paced world of journalism, was there anything that you learned from that career that you've been able to use and transfer into the work that you do now?
Oh, absolutely. I tell anyone who asks about my story that transferable skills are everything. And especially with journalism and PR, they're just different sides of the same coin, essentially. So having worked in the newsroom, everyone jokes about me, you take the girl out of the newsroom and can't take the newsroom out of the girl. So even though technically I'm in PR, I'm still very much thinking like a reporter and an editor. And because I've been there, so I know what it's like, especially nowadays with reporters and editors doing more and more with less resources. So I'm like, hey, here you go. Here's the press release, the high-res images and the B-roll and everything you could want. And I've had reporters tell me like, oh my gosh, you just did my job for me.
Right. And like, they love you.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes my job easier, makes their job easier, makes us more likely to want to work together. Mm-hmm. And just that fast-paced environment where things are coming at you quickly, I've learned to adapt and roll with it. And so that's been definitely helpful in that aspect of switching from journalism to PR. I'm able to act quickly and give them what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were in that process and you were, let's say you were looking at your resume and you were thinking, okay, this is the type of switch that I want to make, or these are the types of jobs that I want to go for. What were you specifically concentrating on in terms of your resume and how you were going to shape the narrative so that you would look appealing to employers from another sector of business? Because I don't even know if you initially knew you wanted to go into the PR side of things, but just in that mindset of thinking, okay, journalism, I'm making a switch out of this. How were you sort of looking at crafting your resume so that it would be appealing to another sector of business?
Yeah, definitely. I thought more big picture. So you're absolutely right. PR wasn't like, oh, I'm going to set out and do this exact thing. I was thinking more big picture in terms of communications, because that's the easiest thing for me to transition into. I'm not going to go from journalism to accounting. I mean, I'm sure people do, and that's great for them. I'm not a numbers person. Like, I know my strengths and weaknesses. So that was not a part of the question. I don't do fundraising. So fund development wouldn't really be the best fit for me either. So I looked for what would be the easiest in. I started studying people who were in those roles. So a little thing about me is that I'm a slight professional social media stalker. that is actually how I got my jobs at both JET and Girl Scouts. So I'm very stealthy in that way. And so I would follow people on social media, strike up a conversation online, and then in some cases, if they were local, ask to meet offline for a coffee date or informational interviews, so I could learn a bit more about their role and learn how a nonprofit works, because I'd never worked in one before. And I know, you know, people have this, like, oh, nonprofits, it's feel goods and rainbows and butterflies, but it ain't always, you know, like, it's a business like any other. You have your good days and your bad days. So I wanted to make sure that I had the big picture and kind of learn the ins and outs and the ups and downs, and doing my research before making the switch. And with my resume, highlighting the writing and editing, you know, I've learned regardless of the industry, everyone needs strong writers and editors and communicators. And luckily, that is my wheelhouse and that's what I do. So highlighting those highlighting the successes and the metrics and increasing followers when I was at Jet. And also, especially with nonprofit, you know, it's very mission driven. Mm-hmm. And so I made a conscious effort of highlighting my volunteer skills on, or not skills necessarily, but my volunteer experience on my resume as well, especially because they were with nonprofits that were focusing on girls. And even in my freelance writing, my blog is about empowering women and girls. And the publications I wrote for are girl power publications. And so it all kind of ties together into this empowering story. Like, this is why I'm the perfect candidate, because I live, eat, and breathe this stuff, and you need to hire me now.
Mm-hmm. So you basically worked to help craft the story and create the image that you knew would be appealing to them.
Exactly. A good story sells every time.
Yep. That's true. So take note of that, you guys. It's like, you can't just put some of the pieces out there and hope that they connect the dots and create the story in their own mind. You have to create the story for them and sell them on that story. So did you have any apprehension or fear about making sort of like this career change?
Oh, absolutely. I am not a risk taker by any stretch of the imagination. I'm the person who wants to know the outcome before I do it so that I know that it's safe.
Yeah.
So this was way outside of my comfort zone. I had my self-doubt. I had fear of failure because of the perfectionist type A person that I am. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of imposter syndrome saying, no, you can't do this. You've never done this before. Are you crazy? You have a good job. Why don't you do that? Everyone, you know, the people who would kill for your job. So it definitely was like, okay, second guessing myself. But, you know, at the end of the day, I just had to trust my skills and my talent, really believe in myself. And hey, it's gotten me this far. And said before, with the research that I did, doing my homework so that I had a very big pros and cons list kind of person. So I was able to look at everything from that aspect as well, and just gathering the information. But I was definitely apprehensive.
Yeah, that makes sense. What has been the most useful piece of advice that you've received in your career thus far?
There's a ton. I am so blessed to have so many awesome mentors in my life. We could be here forever if I shared everything they've passed on to me. But the one that stands out the most, and especially given the year that we've had, is when I left Jet, actually, my editor and mentor and friend, Kyra Kyle. She's amazing. Everyone should follow her. She told me, you have to think like a white man. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't. This is now like end of 2014, beginning of 2015. I'm like, what do you mean? And now I get it. I absolutely get it. You have to have the confidence of a mediocre white man. That's how you get into these doors. That's how you get paid what you are worth. And that's how you end up with all these things that everyone else just seems to be handed to them in some cases. I read somewhere that with interview or job descriptions, even a woman will look at the list and be like, okay, well, I only have 60% of the qualifications. I'm not going to apply. Meanwhile, we think we have to have 100%, and the guy will have like 60%, like, yeah, of course, I'm going to apply and not think anything of it. I was like, okay, I get it now. And that's how I've of course, with being myself, because hey, I'm not a white guy, I'm a black woman, and you can see that, and you Google me, and you see me meet me in person. Like, I'm not trying to pull one over on anyone. It's about having that confidence, though, and that belief in yourself that, yes, I do deserve this.
Right. Now, I like that you touched on mentorship, because I will be honest in saying that I can't really say that I've had many like mentors in my life. A lot of it has been just doing it all on my own and figuring it out on my own. But I see the value in having a mentor. And now that I've slowed down a bit, I welcome mentorship. But before, it was kind of like, it just wasn't even something that I thought about. I was just going and I was just working.
Yeah.
So what role has mentorship played in your life? And sort of how, maybe, I know that you said you have, you know, quite a few and everything, but can you give us an example example of how you created a relationship with at least one of your mentors?
Oh, definitely. I tell, and it's so funny because I was just having this conversation with a friend, and that I've had some emails lately with people asking me to be their mentor. And I joked about writing a blog post about, like, okay, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Like, there's a right way and a wrong way. And
yeah,
that's not necessarily the best way. The best mentorship relationships, I feel like, and my friend and I were discussing this, is when they don't even really know they're your mentor. You kind of pick them, and they may or may not actually be aware. And so with Kyra, actually, it started on Twitter. I said before social media fucked my way into debt, and she had just left Red Eye newspaper in Chicago, and I reached out to her online, and we developed that relationship. And actually, she's the one who hired me as a freelancer for debt before I even started working there full time. And then when the position became available, hired me on, and we just continued that relationship throughout the years. I've had, you know, other jobs since then, and she's been the person I rely on for that professional guidance, because she's been in the game longer than I have. She knows the ins and outs and who people are and how to network, how to negotiate, and kind of hands down this wisdom to me that I just soak up. And like, let me just get a pen and paper and take notes, because I'm getting all of this. But in most cases, my mentors are former bosses, the ones that I like, who like me as well. And it's continuing that relationship, sending emails every now and like, hey, I saw this article and I thought of you, or how's it going? How's your kid? And just keeping those lines of communication open and not just reaching out when you need something, which I think is something that a lot of people just wait until, you know, oh, I've been laid off, or oh, now I want to get this job at the company where you are. If you keep it in touch the whole time, then, you know, you don't have to reintroduce yourself, and you have a easier end. And there are some, I call them mentors in my head, people that I have actually never met in person, but I read their books. I follow them online. I listen to their podcasts, you know, Elaine Fluker and Tiffany Dufu and Shokit. And it's like, okay, I'm going to soak up the wisdom that you're providing out here on the interwebs and kind of adopt you as my mentor in my head, and just take notes on your career. You can learn a lot by observing people. So it doesn't have to be this formal, you know, sit down, meet for coffee once a month kind of thing. It should be organic. That's the other thing. Right. It should never, ever be forced. Then you're just doing the most. Yeah. And that makes everyone uncomfortable.
Right. And I guess when you put it like that, yes, there are people that I've had organic relationships with, and maybe we didn't specify that it was a mentor-mentee situation, but it just worked. And so I appreciate you breaking it down like that, because maybe that gives somebody like a sigh of relief too. Like, okay, I don't have to create this super formal relationship that may even feel awkward for me in the beginning trying to initiate it. And I love that you mentioned Elaine, because I love her. She's of Support Is Sexy. She does Support Is Sexy podcast, and love her. She's just the dopest and the sweetest individual. And yes, I could see why she would be one of your people. Now, can you also just shout out very briefly the social media information for, I think it's Kyra?
Yes, the Kyle Files, I believe, and I should know this off the top of my head. I'm like even trying to look it up on Twitter while we're talking. But yeah, Kyra Kyles and her sister have a great video production company, Miss Lab Entertainment, and they're both wonderful and amazing. But she is so wise and so personable. I think that's the thing too. Like, oh my gosh, especially when she became editor in chief of Ebony, but still someone who's so down to earth and took the time. She really took me under her wing. And so I just am indebted until eternity.
I love it. Absolutely. And I just wanted people to be able to look at and know who you were talking about so they can put the pieces together for themselves. So in thinking about just growth in your professional career and the people that have impacted you and all of those things, what's one thing that you've learned that's helped you to maybe adult better and navigate life in a more approachable way, let's say?
Adulting is hard. I know that I'm such a millennial for saying that, but it is. Like, no one.
There's a lot that people don't teach you to be prepared for.
Yeah. So, like, I have been looking, or just reflecting rather, I think going back to what I said before in terms of prioritizing self-care, adulting is something that, you know, we're all just doing the best we can with what we have and where we are, which sometimes it isn't much,
right.
But really taking the time to prioritize that wellness. I think too many people make self-care an option when really it should be a priority. You should be at the top of your to-do list. And you can't pour from an empty cup. And it's so easy nowadays to get caught up in what everyone else is doing or social media and trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians or whatever. And it's not healthy. And so it's really important to take that time to reflect and pause and just kind of woosah and therapy, which I recognize is definitely a privilege. Mm-hmm. To be able to do, especially like I have a Black female therapist, like that in of itself is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just learned so much about myself that I recommend it to everyone if you're able to. And there's so many places now, I think there's like Pay As You Can, or there's some apps that have it as well, that really can help you to kind of navigate all of everything that's going on, at least figure it out one step at a time.
Yeah. That's so true. There's a lot of different resources. You just have to be open and willing to get out there and find it. So if you had a friend that called you and she was like, girl, I am so over this job. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling fulfilled by the work. I need a change. What advice would you give her to encourage her to go after what she truly wants?
Legit, I just had the same conversation with my sister. I've had other people, coworkers at other jobs who kind of like, hey, I don't know what it is that people think that I have answers or just leading by example. And like, you did it, so how did you do it? The first thing I would say is you got to sit with yourself and figure out what it is that makes you happy. Like, what would you do if you had no limitations in the world, or money was not an option or an issue rather, and really reflect on what your passion is. And I know that's kind of a sore subject. People are like, well, like, passion is such a buzzword nowadays. But I think really reflecting, looking at your childhood self, like, what made you happy when you were five? What do you enjoy doing when no one's watching? And then figuring out what your skill set is, your talents and strengths, and then how do you merge the two? Like, how can you find a way? What's your happy place in that? And understanding that, you know, in nonprofits especially, you can make more money in for-profit. So that's something you also have to figure out. And there's so many resources and career sites out there now, the Muse and Career Contessa, Girl Boss, they have these assessments for you to kind of figure out, because that's the thing, when you don't know where to start, it can all be very overwhelming, but you don't have to do it alone. There are so many free resources out there now, but just start by doing some self-reflection and figuring out what is it that you really want, not your parents, not your grandma, not so-and-so and XYZ, but really taking that internal look and deciding what is it that you want to do.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad that you said that too, because I realize that a lot of people don't know where to start. And so just listening to people's feedback within my space, within the Switch, Pivot, or Quit space, listening to people's feedback and hearing people say, I want to make a change. I don't exactly know what it looks like, and I don't exactly know how to get started. So maybe about a month or two ago, I started letting people know that the Plot Twist Planner was coming. And then I paused on it for a second, but I'll let everyone know now that it is definitely still coming. And I decided to do it in audio format. Since everyone already listens to the podcast, you can pop it in while you're running, while you're on your commute to work, all that good stuff. But that is still coming, because I want that to be a place that women can turn to as their starting point. Because, you know, like, I think a lot of people think it's about the job, it's about the career, but really, no, it's about the person. It's about who you are, who you want to be, what do you want from it? And like you said, sitting with yourself and getting real about that stuff. Nobody can do things for you. You know, it's stuff you have to answer for yourself. And I always say that much of making a switch, pivot, or quit starts with you and doing like the personal development type of work and answering those hard questions to understand what you want. And from you, I want to find out, can you think back to a time where you had to do some personal development work or create some practices to implement into your life, which in turn then positively affected your professional life?
Oh, wow. Like, where do we begin? So many times, I feel like, and even so I started experiencing, similar to the burnout in journalism, there is definitely sort of nonprofit burnout as well. And it typically happens in that 2.5 years that you've been there. And, you know, it's just so easy to give and give and give of yourself because there's this amazing mission that you believe in. You pour your whole self into it. Then there's nothing left for yourself at the end of the day. And I was very fortunate. We had a leadership mastery course at work that they put mid-level managers in. And that was really good way to do that inner work. And it was interesting because it's professional development, but a lot of it was personal. I mean, they're tied. You know, like our CEO says, there's no such thing as work-life balance. It's just life.
Yeah.
And that's so true because you don't realize how much baggage you're bringing from work into home and home into work. And it's just the lines are so blurred. And that course is actually what set me about starting therapy. And in that, I learned how to do some self-compassion exercises. And from that, I started meditating. So it was all intertwined, but it was something that I realized like, hey, if I don't take a step back and focus on me, I'm going to end up burned out again. And that didn't really help anybody. So sometimes you just got to have a seat, sit down, be humble, and pause. Like, I think it's so easy to go, go, go. And I'm definitely always on the move and a million places. And if I'm not, they're like, I try to explain to my husband, my brain is like an internet tab or internet browser with 20 tabs open at all times.
Right.
So it's
I love that
like
one.
You, oh gosh, it's so true. But doing that inner work, that self-reflection and having that intentional quiet time, because sitting with yourself can be ugly. Like it's not pretty. It requires some dirty work and you're going to have to face some of those demons in order to get to the truth, to your truth. And at the end of the day, it's worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely is worth it for sure. So when you think back on your career, have you made any missteps in your career that you later realized to be a good learning lesson for yourself?
I try to live my life in a way that I don't want there to be any regret. So I'm very much of the, I'd rather do something and know how it turned out than get to 50, 60, 70 and be like, oh man, what if that had happened?
Yeah.
So there were, of course, I'm sure some opportunities where it's like, I don't really know. And, but you have to do the work. And I think now, too, especially people sometimes, and I know millennials have a bad rap and we're entitled and this and that, and people expect to just kind of have things given to them. But no, you need to, sometimes really do have to start from the bottom. You know, like Drake wasn't lying. And especially when I was at magazines and newspapers, starting at the bottom of the masthead and working my way up. I feel like if someone's looking at my resume and they see that I was only with Chicago Public Schools for 5-6 months, they may view that as a blip, as a mistake, but I know my journey and I did it intentionally after I left JET to get some communications experience so that I would be better prepared for a nonprofit position. And so I just maintain that everything happens for a reason. There's definitely some things that I've learned in terms of work politics and dealing with, you know, people who may not like you. And sometimes you're going to rub people the wrong way. And as long as you are professional and don't have any ill intentions, I do think that you can learn from it and grow from it. I do know about myself that I can be intimidating to some people sometimes who may have some insecurities on their own. And that's not a reflection on me. Like, I think the thing I had to learn was not to take it so personal, that they are having their own things they're going through and they just may be, putting it out on me, but I don't have to absorb that. I don't have to feed into that story. And so I think that's something important for young Black women, especially because we just get so much. Am I allowed to say shit on here?
Yeah.
Okay. We have to deal with so much shit that it takes so, like, the whole work twice as hard to get half as much. Like, it is true. It is so true. But you have to keep your head high and just do the work, and it'll pay off.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It just takes a while.
Goals are. Yeah. Know what your goals are.
Exactly.
Keep in mind, and just know that you're putting in the work for yourself, not for anybody else, because you have a goal in mind. Yeah.
Exactly.
So when you made your SPQ, you specifically looked to work with women and young girls. Why is women supporting women an important thing to you?
Oh, man, it's just everything. My whole mission in life is to empower women to pursue and achieve their personal and professional goals. I just firmly believe that when one of us makes it, all of us makes it. And I want to do my part, whatever that is, reviewing your resume, helping you with your cover letter, interview prep, and sharing my story even. There's so much, especially with everything that's online, you know, people look at social media as, you know, as truth, and essentially it's a highlight reel. So you're comparing your behind the scenes and your griminess and everything to this Photoshop picture on Instagram, and whatever I can do in my part to show that that's not the case by being vulnerable, by being transparent, and hopefully inspire someone, or at least letting them know that you're not alone. There's so much strength in that, and sisterhood. And I just firmly believe that we can accomplish so much more and do so many great things when we work together, and all about community and collaboration over competition. And it starts with us. And that's famous meme or whatever, the shirt that's like, we've been told y'all said every Black woman ever. I mean, like, it starts literally, Black women are going to save the world. I just read a Bitch Media article about that. That was amazing. And it shouldn't rely on us. We shouldn't have to bear this burden, but let's face it, we are badass and we get shit done. So, yeah, I just want to be a part of that sisterhood.
I love it. I love it. So what does success mean or look like for you?
Not to sound like Beyonce on that one time, but happiness, to be happy. Of course, you know, a 6-figure salary would be nice. Who wouldn't want that?
Right.
But I reflect on the Maya Angelou quote that talks about success being, gosh, every time I try to say it out loud, I forget it and I get it mixed up, but essentially talking about liking yourself, liking what you do, and liking how you do it. That is how I've come to define success, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in followers and subscribers and your salary and everything. And of course you want to make a living. Absolutely. But for me, the personal gratification, being fulfilled, knowing that I'm doing work that makes a difference and is helping other people, that's leaving a greater impact, because I'm not going to be here forever. I want to establish a legacy that's going to continue living on once I'm gone. And so whatever I can do, both professionally and personally, in order to live up to that, that to me is success.
Yay. I love it. I love it. Perfectly said. So let everybody know, L'Oreal, how they can keep up with you, how they can find out what else is going on with you and all that good stuff on social media, websites, everything. Let them know.
Absolutely. You can find me everywhere. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at LT in the City. Sign up for my weekly newsletter at ltinthecity.com for your midweek dose of inspiration and motivation every Wednesday morning. And I just redesigned my website too, so y'all go check that out and let me know what you think.
Yeah. And what's the website?
ltinthecity.com.
Perfect. 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 Well, it's been such a pleasure chatting with you. And thank you so much for being so candid and sharing your story with us. I'm sure that everyone enjoyed it as much as I did.
This is amazing. Thanks so much for having me.
Yay. You're welcome. I'm so glad that you had a good time. And as always, you guys, you know what to do. Keep killing it.